As Pastor Carl mentioned, the scripture reading today is the 98th Psalm. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity.
Thank you, Jim. And thank you, Jimmy, and everyone who's helping me out today. Someone actually suggested that we could skip the sermon today. And so I've been praying that the Lord would give me the strength of my voice in order to preach, maybe 45 minutes today, if that's okay with you folks. Shall we pray? The words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I learned something new this week. That's good for a new year. I learned that it was customary for the Hebrews to celebrate God's mighty acts by writing a new song. For example, when God led the children of Israel through the Red Sea and set them free from the slavery that they were held in by Pharaoh, Moses wrote a song to commemorate the occasion. You can find that in Exodus 15. When God answered Hannah's prayer for a son, she also sang, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance." In 1 Samuel 2. And once David had prevailed over the Gibeonites, the Philistines, and all the other enemies of Israel, he sang, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress." 2 Samuel 22. Whenever the Hebrews experienced the awesome power of God's redeeming love, they sang a new song to mark the occasion. And that's the backdrop of the 98th Psalm. It's a song of praise commemorating the end of Israel's exile in Babylon, where they had been taken and where they were held for 70 years. It's a song of praise. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand, his holy arm, have worked salvation for him. In captivity for 70 years, the people of God were now returning to their home. What better reason to celebrate, to give thanks, to worship? Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Martin Tell, who is the director of music at Princeton Seminary, my alma mater, says there are three psalms that have been associated with Christmas: Psalm 96, Psalm 97, and this psalm, Psalm 98. These psalms are handed to us as a set. Like bookends, there's Psalm 96 on one side and Psalm 98 on the other side, both of which begin with an exhortation to sing a new song. All three psalms depict the world bursting out in joyful song at the coming of the Lord. The coming King will judge with truth and righteousness. The three psalms are breathtaking, and the connection to Christmas is natural. Christmas is about the only time in my 36 years of pastoral ministry, when the church family can agree on the music we ought to sing together. And it's not psalms. It's Christmas carols. Christmas carols that are these time travel carols that take us back to the shepherd's field outside of Jerusalem, outside of Bethlehem, or the manger scene in the town of Bethlehem. We are focused on those carols, not on the songs of the Bible that are scattered throughout the pages of Scripture. Yet the Psalms can broaden our Christmas praise. John Calvin wrote in the preface to the French Psalter in 1543, "When we shall have moved all around to search here and there, we shall find no better or more proper songs than the Psalms of David, which the Holy Spirit has spoken and made through him." This is the songbook of the people of God, the book of Psalms. And this morning I want us to do as the psalm writer does, sing to the Lord a new song. No, I haven't composed a new song. I am not a songwriter, but it's a new year and a new time to worship God in this place. So I invite you to sing a song that helps us to recognize God's mighty acts in the world and inspire us to sing to the Lord, not just on Sundays, but every day throughout the new year. In many ways, the old Hebrew custom of writing a new song is familiar to us. And it doesn't have to be a national celebration, like a big event. Our dearly loved director of children's ministry, Larry Scourin, stepped away from her position at the end of the year, and back on the 16th of last month, following the children's Christmas program, we got together in order to recognize and thank Larry. She hates those kind of public recognitions, so we tried to keep it low key. And in order to recognize her that day, one of our teachers, Mr. Ken Parmi, wrote a wonderful poem expressing our love and gratitude to Larry. It was a new song, a brand new song, never heard before. And when Ken read that song, there was not a dry eye in the house. It was a very wonderful and touching day. This is the spirit of Psalm 98. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing praise to God for the many ways God has blessed us by sending us his love and continues to bless us. It's easy to see a reason to celebrate in landmark events like the Exodus or the return of the exiles or the end of a war or the dedication of a new building. Yet if we look closely, God is at work all around us every day, excuse me, giving us many, many reasons to sing and celebrate. Miracles happen every day. Once we're aware of what God is doing, reconciling us to himself, once we're aware that God is what God is up to in our lives, transforming us into the men and women God created us to be, there's a good reason for us to sing. Sing to the Lord a new song sounds simple enough, but just so we're clear, it does not mean that the new songs must displace the old songs. Because I know some of you are thinking already, the best hymns are those ones that have been around a long time. Amazing Grace and Blessed Assurance and the Old Rugged Cross, which I grew up singing, and they always will be near and dear to me. But we are selling God short if we don't do as the psalmist instructs us, to sing a new song to the Lord. Besides, even old songs are new to those who are hearing them for the first time. Take Beethoven's Third Symphony, especially the climax. There's a dissonance in the chords in the climax of that symphony. About nine times that occurs. And when it was premiered at the end of the 19th century, many of the concert goers declared that Beethoven's symphony was blasphemous, that it was dreadful. Yet there are those who saw Beethoven's genius, old songs or new songs to those who hear them for the first time. And if you've never heard Beethoven's Third Symphony, pull it up on your iTunes or go to YouTube and listen to it. It will be a new song to each of you. When something happens in the lives of those who sing, even old songs become new songs. For instance, when our hearts are filled with a new spirit of love, when we want to express gratitude for something that has occurred in our lives, we want to sing, whether it's an old song or a new song we happen to be singing. That indeed is what motivated the exiles to sing this new song to the Lord. Verse 3 of Psalm 98 shows us the real reason why they sang. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. God remembered his love for his people. He demonstrated his love. His love brought them home again. Love is a common word in our culture. Amazon.com lists over 10,000 books about money, over 19,000 books about God, but over 35,000 books about love. And love can get misused or misinterpreted, like this love letter. Dearest Johnny, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I've felt since breaking off our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart, so please forgive me. I love you, I love you, I love you. Forever, Marie. P.S. And congratulations on winning the Mega Millions lottery. Genuine love, however, powerful love, biblical love, is love that can make the difference in everything we do. It can heal our broken dreams. It can heal our severed relationships. It can help us to live through life's biggest challenges. It may never have occurred to you that the songs and hymns we sing in worship are a way of responding to the Christmas message, but indeed they are, because when we have heard the story of Jesus come to earth, we have heard God say to us these three special words, I love you. And when we offer a new song, when we sing our song to the Lord, whether it's in worship or whether it's in our car or whether it's in the shower at home, it is our way of turning it around and saying to God, I love you. Amen. Another way we say to God, I love you, is to renew our commitment each week.